All right, we are excited. I am excited to be here. I asked Pastor if I could preach today, and God has been dealing with my heart. So I want you to know, anytime God deals with me, I always feel like I have to share it, okay, with everybody else. So really, just so you know, I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching to all of us, all right? And so welcome all those people on Facebook. We are so glad you are joining us this morning. I have to say, really quick, Brian's, your worship sets, every time I preach, the songs go exactly with the message. And he doesn't know what the message is going to be. And that's what's just so amazing, is how God just moves everything and just puts it all together. And I just want to thank everybody who's been praying for me. I really appreciate that too. So, we are going to be talking about the authority of God's Word, and I'm really excited about this. So what I got thinking about is, how, you know how a lot of people at Hy-Vee, they'll buy the Mega Million ticket, and you know, it's 25 million, 28 million, whatever it is, and they get excited and they have that hope that, whoa, I could have riches, what are the possibilities, oh my goodness, you know, there's just so much out there that we could be having. You know, it's endless, the possibilities if I got that. Well, then let's say you did win it. It would be overwhelming. It would just be like, oh my gosh, 25 million, even if I get to keep 20 of it, I'll be so happy. You know what I mean? And I can do so much, but what do I want to do? Oh my gosh, what do I do with all this? And I'm sure a lot of people would help you figure out what you could do with all that money, right? Well, that is exactly how I feel about sharing the authority of God's Word. There are riches in it that are just so phenomenal, and I am going to just heap scripture and word on you today, and I'm just going to dump millions on you right now, and you're going to be overwhelmed, okay? But that's okay, because I don't want it to overwhelm you. I want it to inspire you. I want you to see what the possibilities, the endless possibilities are today when you really dig in to the authority of God's Word. And the reason I've been doing this, I'm excited about this, is because I have seen a lot of people's lives, especially in these last, I would say, 5-10 years, just beaten up. Christians being beaten up. World, people who don't know Jesus being beaten up. I look at our young people, I work with the children's ministry, and I just see there is such a difference from when I was a kid. Their friendships are volatile, you know? And just ever, you know, they don't talk nice. There's not a lot of respect. There's not a lot of manners. There's not a lot of connection. One minute they hate you, the next minute they're your best friend, and then it just goes back and forth. And that's not how God set it out to be. That's the lies in the world, stealing and robbing. I look at relationships, that people jump into having an intimate relationship instead of doing the courtship. The courtship is the fun part, where you really get to know a person, where you really get to find out, are we really bonded? Are we really the right one? And Satan is stealing, because you know what? People give themselves to this person, this person, this person, this person. They're giving pieces of themselves, and it's wounding them. It's hurting them. God hates sin. Oops, sorry. God hates sin, and he knows it will defeat us. It will beat us up. It hurts us. So that's why he tells us in his word certain things. It's not to take away our fun. It's to bring us joy, peace, wholeness, goodness, life. And that's what's in the authority of God's word. And so we know that we have a bad devil out there. You know, he is destructive. I've never seen such a rampage of anxiety on people's lives. I see it on second graders' lives. That's not right. You know, there was a saying back when I was young, you've come a long way, baby, and it was talking about women, that we've come a long way, you know? I could say the same about our world. We've come a long way. We have pushed God out of so much that there's certain positions and jobs that if you speak about God, you'll get fired. And that's wrong. Why are they so afraid of God? Especially when you find out what God has to offer. He's not asking you to kill anybody. He's not asking you to hurt anybody. You know what I mean? He's come to heal, to set free, to encourage, to lift up. Why are people afraid of that? Because the lie of the enemy, the devil, has come in and robbed and stole so much, and we've let him. And I know this message has hit me hard because I've really had to repent. I've been a Christian for over 50 some years. I've known about the power of the Holy Spirit for the last 40 years. And I am not seeing what Jesus has already done walking through my life. I've been slothful, I've been lazy, I've been distracted, I've been caught up with life. But boy, I've missed out on so much. And I've had to repent of that. And so, we are going to join in and see the riches of God's Word. We're going to see the abundance that He has for us today and the authority and what He has really done. And so I'm excited about this. So we're going to start at the beginning. And John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, but the Word was God." Do you see? I forgot to bring my Bible up here. But do you see that the Word of God is God? If you want to hand me that Bible, that'd be great. Yes. That's why. Thank you. You're wonderful. Thanks, Pastor. That's why this book is different from any other book in the whole world. It's not just words of men. It is God. Wild, isn't it, to think this is God? Because it's something tangible. God is a spirit. But you see, He knows we have five physical senses. We live in our five physical senses. Our spirit man is usually dead, and it doesn't see the spirit things. So God, being a spirit, said, my people are going to need something they can hang on to, something that they can look at, something that they can stand on to be able to live and survive. So I'm going to put myself into this Word, and I'm going to become it. And I'm going to give it to them so that they can have it right there with them. That's how powerful the Word of God is. That's why it's life-changing. So, I'm going to just keep going. Hebrews 4:12 says, "The Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword." So, not only is this God, but it's a living God, and it's active, and it is powerful. Like a sword. If you know what a two-edged sword is, it cuts on the way in and it cuts on the way out. That's a powerful weapon. And God knows that we needed that. And so this Word is alive and it's active. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, and this is how he takes it a step further, "For this reason, I constantly thank God that when you received from us the Word of God's message, you accepted it not as the word of just men, but for what it really is, the Word of God, which will perform a work inside those who believe." This Word is not just living, but it's going to come alive if you take it inside of you, and it is going to perform a work. We want to change, and it's like, I know I have habits that I've given over to God. Oh, God, I've done it again. I really want to stop doing this. I need to put the Word in. I don't need to just stop, I'll say with food or whatever it is, you know what I mean? I need to put the Word in place so that it can start performing its work in me, so it transforms me and changes me. God says He'll do the work if we believe it and put it in. That's a powerful weapon. That is amazing. 2 Timothy 3:16, "All Scripture is breathed. God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." God's breath, His Spirit, is there. It's for us. Psalms 119:60, "The sum of thy word is truth, and every one of your righteousness ordinances is everlasting." God's word is going to stand. God has been eternal. He has lived forever, and he said, my words are never going to change. Not from the beginning, not till the end. They will stand for eternity. That is something we can put our hope in. That is something we can build on. It's not going to shift. It's not going to change. Our morals and values in our country have shifted and changed, and we've said, oh, this is the truth. Oh, no, no, now this is the truth. God doesn't change. His is, this is the truth. And it's solid. It's not going to change. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. A couple more. Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. It's hard to believe that this earth is going to pass away, but it will, because God said it will. He's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And those things are going to pass away, but his word is going to still be there. It's not going to change. So that's how faithful of a God, how powerful of a God, how a living God is right here with us, all right? Matthew 7:24-25. Therefore, this is the next step to it. Therefore, if anyone hears these words of mine, good, he has to have it up there, hears these words of mine and acts on them, he may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and burst against that house, and yet it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Wow. If we take hold and believe and trust in this word, it doesn't matter what storms of life come against us. It doesn't matter what problems. God is saying, I don't want you to fall. I don't want you to be beat up. I don't want to have to scrape you up off the floor. I don't want your heart broken in 20 million pieces. I want to let you stand. I want you to be strong. I want you to be whole. And so that's exciting. That's just the authority of God's word. And that's just a tiny bit that I've given you. Next step, how do we get this authority into our life? All right, so point two is we need to accept Jesus. Jesus came in John 1:14, it says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Do you know, Jesus had to come because there was a sin problem. But it says, it didn't say that Jesus, God, came out of heaven. It said the Word became flesh. God is always trying to remind us that this isn't just an ordinary book, that he is with us. We can hang on to him. We have something to hold on to. But he's also a spirit, and he can be with us. So, Jesus became the Word made flesh, and he had to come. I'm going to go back to creation. Creation, when God made man, he said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. So we became a spirit being just like him. And then he said, and let him rule over all the earth, over all the fish, over all the cattle, the birds of the air, everything on this earth. Let him rule over it. He gave us authority just like he has authority. Because you see, when he created us, we were perfect. We did not have a sin nature. But because he didn't want a robot, he said, okay, I'm going to put this one tree in all the whole earth and garden here. And that's the tree of good and evil. And I don't want you to eat that. Because he had to give us that free will. Are you going to serve me out of your heart? Or are you going to just serve me because I'm telling you to do it? And so he had to put that one thing in there just to give us that choice. And then Satan comes along. And Satan kept whittling away at Eve and telling her just a half-truth and a half-lie, you know? And he just kept hitting her and hitting her and hitting her with it. And she finally said, well, you know, that tree really does look kind of good for fruit. And if it could make me more like God, that would be a good thing, right? So she eats of it, gives it to her husband. And then all of a sudden their eyes are open and they know what evil is. They never knew what evil was. They never experienced evil. until they ate, and then the curse came. And they gave their authority over to the devil. So now it says the devil is the ruler of this world. And now, I know I'm preaching a sad picture right now, but this is okay, because this is why Jesus had to come. It's because he knew that sin would destroy us. Sin actually separated us from God. He had to kick Adam and Eve out of the garden. They couldn't be there because of the tree of life. And he didn't want us to stay in our sin forever. So immediately he starts and makes a rescue plan. And his rescue plan was Jesus. And Jesus was willing to come down out of his position in heaven, out of his power, out of his glory. And he chose to come down as a baby, a man. He gave up his greatness to become a man because he didn't have a sin nature. And when he did that, he gave everything for us. Now, it says, Jesus says, I am, in John 14:6, it says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one can come to the Father but by me. There's only one way to get to heaven. There's only one way to get restored in your relationship, and that's through Jesus. That's why we need to accept him and what he's done. And I think about everything that he had to go through. Well, let me just tell you this first, though. Sin is such an ugly thing. Sin distorts who we are. Sin will always tell you, you're not good enough or whatever. It's always going to beat you down. It is always going to distort the truth, and it'll always try to rob from you. It'll weigh you down. It will try to put sickness on you. It'll try to get you to think wrong. It'll try to make you hate other people, make you get offended, be critical, or whatever it is. That's sin. It's not a pretty thing. It's an ugly thing. And God knew that that was robbing from us. It was hurting us. It was tearing us apart, and it pulled us away from him. And so Jesus, when he went to the cross, this is what he did. He dissolved the legal contract that Satan had over us. Jesus went to the cross willingly to serve our death penalty and for us to be taken from Satan's dominion and restored to our true identity, to our true position of authority. That's what Jesus did. And it wasn't a pretty sight. Because when Jesus went to the cross, he was beaten. And you know, they did the cat of nine tails, 39 lashes, and they lashed him and just ripped his skin apart. But in the Bible, in 1 Peter 2:24, it says, by his stripes we were healed. He took those lashes so that his blood could flow and that we could be healed of every sickness, every disease. And then they nailed him to the tree, and he took our sins, every sin. Can you imagine every sin imaginable in this world? He took it, the ones that we try to hide, or the ones that we count, oh, it's just a little white lie. You know, every sin, every wrong little thought, he took and bore that, and he took the penalty for it, which meant he had to be separated from God. I always wondered, why did he say, oh my God, why did you forsake me? It's because the presence of God left him. He had to go and experience what we were supposed to experience, separation from God. If you think about it, God is love. God is peace and joy, goodness and truth. Have those things taken away out of your life. There's nothing left. It's hopeless. And so he took that for us. And he went to the grave for 3 days, but yet because of that sinless nature, Satan couldn't hold him, and he defeated the devil. He took our contract back from him, and he said, sorry, you can't have him anymore. So anybody who is willing can now accept the blood of Jesus, accept his forgiveness, accept his benefit package, That's something Debbie and I have been teaching on Wednesday night, is Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who has forgiven all my sins, every single one of them, even the ones I'm going to commit tomorrow. He's forgiven them. That's how powerful his blood is. Who has healed all my diseases. This is the tough one for me to accept. Because we get a cold, we get COVID, we have cancer, there's diabetes, there's multiple sclerosis, there's all these different high blood pressure. Jesus died to take all of them. Why are we taking them and accepting them? The treasure says we don't have to. He did it for us. And Jesus is not an Indian giver. He doesn't say, oh, I did take cancer, but I just decided to give it back to you. He doesn't do that. Why would he go through those stripes to take something away only to give it back? We have a bad devil in this world who is putting sickness and disease, mental illness, destruction, fear, anxiety, all these things in our life. And we've accepted it. And we're the body of Christ. And that's what I had to really repent of. I said, God, forgive me. It's not for what I did, it's for what I haven't done. I haven't taken hold of the truth, the treasure of who you created me to be. And I haven't accepted it. So what do I need to do to get there? Third point, we need to submit and saturate ourselves with the Word of God. This living Word has to become a part of our lives. It's not something we just dust off or kiss. Oh yeah, Holy Bible. It is a treasure. It is our identity. It is our authority. It is the answer to every problem that we will ever face. It is for every bad mood that we have, there's an answer. And I'm going to tell you, in Greece, what was it, 30 years ago, we decided we were going to move to Greece. Brad had always done all these mission trips. I stayed home and said, I'll pray for you. Okay? So we went on a short one to Mexico, and I really did enjoy it. And so he's like, you know what? I really want to go help out the missionaries in Greece. Let's just go for 6 months. And I said, okay, you know, I can do that. And all of a sudden, it started wearing on me. My job wanted to promote me. We wanted to get pregnant, and we both had good jobs with insurance. So we weren't getting pregnant. It had been 3.5 years. So I thought, oh, I better go to the doctor quick and see what's going on. So we found out, you're going to need medical help to get pregnant. So then I'm thinking, oh, no, you know. And then I had such a good church family. It was just so amazing. And then I had such a good support group of friends. And they were just amazing. And then I can remember coming home from work and just having this meltdown and just saying, God, what are we doing? We're going to pack up everything. We're going to leave Denver, Colorado, where I really got on fire for you. And you're going to take all this away from me? I can't even understand the language. Brad's been learning Greek, and he's picking it up, and I can't even get a word. You know, I'm not going to be able to understand anybody. I just feel like you have forsaken me, God. And I jumped on my bed. I bawled, and then I opened my Bible. And my Bible fell to this scripture in Deuteronomy 31:8. And it said, the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. It was just one of those moments where you go, okay, speak to me, you know, and there it was. And I had actually used the word forsaken me. And then what does he do? He gives me this word that said, I'm going to go before you and prepare it. But I'm not going to just go before you. I'm going to stay with you the whole way and be with you. And then, I haven't forsaken you. He told me exactly, I haven't failed you, I haven't forsaken you. Do not fear, be dismayed. That scripture was something I could hold on to. I grabbed onto it. And we were driving back to Iowa with all our stuff. He had the truck, I had my car, and I had wrote that scripture on a card, and I memorized it on the way home from Colorado because I needed it. And you know what? It brought peace to me. And I was still sad because we had given up our insurance and I wasn't pregnant. But guess what? 7 weeks into the trip, I found out I was pregnant. Doctors had said you couldn't get pregnant medically by yourselves. But God did it because I was obedient. I hung on to His word. And so we need to saturate and hang on to God's word. In Psalms 119:11, it says, "Your word I have hid in my heart that I might not sin against you." We need to start hiding God's word in our heart because it's going to perform the work in you. It's going to uproot all the fears, the lies, the anxiety that have been involved and twisted into your life, the wrong thinking. And as you put the word in, those roots get loosened up, and they get loosened up, and they get loosened up. And all of a sudden you go, I don't have to have this anymore. And you realize the truth. I've been set free. I don't have to live like this anymore. And that's what's exciting, is that we have this to fill up with. But are we going to take the time to? I've got to say, you know, if God definitely wants a personal relationship with us. But it's not so personal that you don't come to church. There's a scripture that says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Learn how to stimulate and encourage one another in the faith. He wouldn't call us the body of Christ if we could have a relationship with Him just at home by ourselves. We are the body. We need each other. You need to be here, but we also need you. And we work together because none of us are perfect. We all have our bad days. We all have our weak areas. And we need each other to remember the truth, to be prayed for and encouraged, sometimes to have somebody cry with you. You know, I mean, it's just we need the fellowship of this. And are we willing to start making this a priority? Because our families are dependent on it. Our country is dependent on it. And you know what? God says we're world changers. Look at how He could take one man, David, and turn a nation. He's done that so many times. We need to be those people who decide to stand, I am going to start saturating myself with the word, with the truth. I'm going to combat the lies of this world. And I know I'm just kind of focusing on the word. There's so much more in here about worship, about prayer, about all these other things that are just riches, and they're wonderful. But we got to go on. Point four, declaring God's truth, declaring the word of God. Once you start putting that word in, you got to start declaring it out and letting it have power. It says that we sent your word to heal them from their destruction. That's sending forth God's word to heal people from their destruction. It's really Satan's. Do you know, we're fighting a battle, but the battle is not against flesh and blood. A lot of times we see people as the enemy, but the real enemy is the devil. He's robbed and stolen from us. And as we have asked Jesus in our heart, that makes a difference. Now, I got these really cute boxing gloves from a friend, and they're pretty neat, aren't they? But you know what? They're lifeless. They're ineffective, just sitting there. And they can't do anything. But when we ask Jesus in, when we start filling up who we are really in the truth of who God is, the battle's on. Devil's defeated. Game over. You know? So we need to start declaring the truth. As we put the word in, we need to, I'm going to keep those up there because that's kind of a good visual. We need to keep speaking out over our children. Our children need the life of God put back in them, you know? They need the peace, the joy, the goodness of God. They need the evil one to be broken from them. I just release that his mighty angels to be round about you, to guard and protect you in all your ways. His word will not return void without accomplishing what it is sent to do. That's in Isaiah 55:11. There's so much word. There's so much richness. There's so much value that we have and who we are. Our identity, we look for the world to tell us what we are or what we're good at or something like that. That's not who we are. We are a child of the Most High God. We were created in God's image, and we are filled with his spirit, with his truth, to make a difference, to be the leaders of a nation, not the followers. We need to take back our nation. We need to take back our families. But you know what? It's going to take a commitment. It's going to have to take putting the word as a priority in your life. And I'm excited about that because I can't think of any greater people to do it with. And I hope if you don't have a church and you are looking for a church that you will come and join us because we need to make a difference and we can. We can change the way things are. We don't have to stay silent. We can start declaring the word of God. And the word of God is going to change things. Make sure I did not miss any good stuff. Just want to kind of recap. The authority of God's word is the richest thing, the greatest riches you will ever receive. And it's right here. And it can be right in here. And it will bring so much more than you can ever ask or think. And you can make a difference in other people's lives. Remember your benefit package. Jesus Christ died so that you would be forgiven of all your sins, healed of all your diseases, and redeemed your life from the pit so that he could crown you with loving kindness and compassion. And then we need to declare the word. And so God is good. God is a good God. Let's start taking hold together. Let's make a difference. Let's start seeing miracles every day. That's what our goal is. Miracles every day. Not because of who we are, because of the greater one in us. By his power, by his strength. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just praise you and thank you for the power and the richness of your word, for your great love that you sent Jesus to pay the penalty, pay the price, and to win us back from the enemy, the devil. We just want you to fill us fresh with your spirit. We just need you desperately right now, Lord. And we just call on the mighty name of Jesus, that word made flesh, to come alive inside of us. Give us a hunger for your word. Give us a hunger for your truth. And help us to see we don't have to remain the same. That we are precious, we are valuable, and we have purpose. And we give you praise for that.